I mentioned a verse this morning just in passing. I don't even know, I didn't say anything about it. But just in passing, as we dealt with the sorrow and dealt with the things this morning, the laughing. And when God laughs, it's certainly not going to be funny when God laughs. And I mentioned right at the very first of the message a verse of Scripture about a merry heart. And so tonight I want us to look on that subject, how that a merry heart does good for us. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 13. We'll read this just as an introduction verse and look at that subject of a happy heart or a merry heart that the Scripture tells us about. It says in Proverbs 15 and verse number 13, it says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." You can look on people's faces and you can look on how that people act and their response to certain things. You can know what their heart is, whether it's happy or sad or unconcerned. And the Scripture says here that a merry heart makes a happy countenance. And thank God we can do that and can have that. And I'm glad we can rejoice in the Lord. And that's all right, George. You can amen all you want to, and Renee can just keep punching you. That'd be all right. And but a merry heart. And if you know George, George's always happy. He's always merry. And she'll tell you different. But outside, he's always happy and joyful. And that's good because it's a countenance about us. And the Lord says it's like a medicine. It helps us and does so much for us. And so we find that it's a cheerful way and gives us a countenance. And the verse that mentioned this morning talks about it's like a medicine to our life. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now we're not talking about this pump in our body that pumps the blood throughout the vein system of our flesh. We're talking about the heart of man, the soul of man, what he really is. And here the Lord says that we need to keep our heart with all diligence or watch care, because out of it, the heart, what man really is, out of it proceeds the issues of life. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 12 and verse 34, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so the heart and the mouth, they go hand in hand. What's in the heart, the mouth will utter that and will give that to us. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19, it says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat the unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so here the Lord says, out of the heart proceeds not just the issues of life, not just the joys of life, but it also out of that heart proceeds this wickedness that is all around us. And so we deal with the heart. We deal with some important things about our life and the lives of those around us. When we study the subject of the heart, the Bible tells us there's such a thing as a discouraged heart. The heart can be discouraged very easily. I believe we could probably go around the room tonight and if we was honest, I'd say, what discourages you? And you'll find something real quick would come up of discouragement that comes to our life. And so our heart can be discouraged. Numbers 21, verse number 4 says, "And they journeyed from Mount Or to the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way." But the way was tough. The way was hard. And they were struggling. And so the soul or the heart of the people was very discouraged because of the way. And so there is such a thing as a discouraged heart. And I'm sure we could all give testimony to that. The Bible tells us also there's a distressed heart. The heart is distressed because of things around it. Zephaniah 1 verse 14 and 15 on down a few verses tells us about the day of the Lord is near. And then it says in verse 16, "The day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers." And he says, "I will bring distress upon men, for they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust." So there's not only a discouraged heart, but there's a distressed heart. And then the Bible also tells us there's a deceived heart. And we see that everywhere we look, everywhere we go. The book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 3 says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so we find the Scripture tells us, be not deceived. Deception is something that many times we permit to happen in our life. A deception is what comes, and the devil is the great deceiver. He's the one that puts falsehood before us, and he's the one that puts a stumbling block before us, and he'll deceive us. And the Bible says that we have a heart that is deceived on every corner, on every hand. Who can know the heart? It's a heart that is deceived in many, many ways. But the Scripture says we need merry hearts. The Scripture says it helps us, and it gives us those things that will bless our life. It's like a medicine, and also will bless others around us of our countenance. Now, David, we know he had 400 special men. He had those men that came with him. Those men, they were not popular men. They were not renowned men. But the Bible says they were troubled men. And they were troubled at what all was taking place in their land. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2 says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to a cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and every one was in distress. Their heart wasn't merry. They was in distress, and everyone was in debt, and everyone was discontented. So there's three things about these men of David that followed him that we hear about and talk about and preach about. David's 400 men and how they were blessed of the Lord, and they gathered themselves to him, and he became their captain. And before long, those 400 men, by the actions of that they were taking and the things that David did, those men that were in debt and that were doubting and were distressed, they became merry men. They became men of willingness, and it makes for a cheerful countenance. If you'll just go to Walmart, and if you'll just sit down, sometimes I just sit down. I don't like to walk all over the place, and sometimes I just tell Sharon, I said, this is where I'll be. And I sit there and just watch people. You know, if you just watch people, it's surprising what you'll learn. You'll find that there are some folks that, I don't know why they even got out of bed. They didn't look like they should have. And you just observe people. But if you'll look at their faces, if you'll look at their attitude, their countenance, most of them are not happy. Most of them are just there drudging and trudging along and doing what they have to do. But the Bible tells us here we need to have a merry heart. And you and I tonight, as a believer, if anybody ought to have a merry heart, it ought to be us. I'll be the first to admit my heart's not always merry. My countenance not always smiling. And those things come to all of us the same way. But we as believers should have a merry heart. Our heart should be fixed upon the Lord in such a way that the joy of the Lord would be there. And it makes a joy and a cheerful countenance. Have you ever been around somebody you just wish you wasn't around? Because when you look at them, you know they're not going to say anything good. You know they're not going to tell you anything happy. You know they're a downer. And you know what the word out of their mouth is going to be something that's going to try to get you down there with them. And you certainly learn after a while, you don't ask them how they're doing because they'll tell you. And sometimes that's not very good. But the countenance is there that is not merry. Their life is struggling, and they're burdened down with the problems that come with life. And Proverbs 17:12 that we mentioned earlier, it doth good like a medicine if we could have a happy heart and a merry heart, a smiling face. So we have a face that is smiling or one that is frowning and terrible looking. And so the world is on Prozac and all those other Zacs and all that other stuff, trying to get them to forget reality, trying to forget what's really going on and just sort of put them in a la-la land. But that's not happiness. That's not joy. That's just going. And I'm not belittling folks that have to have that, because some people do. And that's part of life. And somewhere down the line, I may need it. Some people may think I need it now. But we find that these things sometimes folks use just to escape where they are, just to escape their condition. That's why a lot of people do their drugs. That's why a lot of people drink their alcohol. That's why they do all the things they do. They want to escape and get into a little world that's not real. A little world that's not what it ought to be. And so a merry heart does good like a medicine. I find that medicine sort of soothes us sometimes. My doctor told me the other day, I've been having this knee problem. I went to the doctor. He said, well, the pills that you're taking, are they doing any good? I said, I don't know. It hurts when I don't take it. It hurts when I take it. I can't tell you if it's doing any good or not. I said, it may hurt worse if I don't take it. And he said, well, let's do a little bit of experiment. He said, he gave me that steroid shot in my knee, which wasn't a lot of fun. And he said, let's do a little bit of experiment. And he said, about a week from now, just stop taking that medicine and you'll find out if it's doing any good. Well, I stopped taking the medicine. About 10 days later, no, it wasn't that long, about 7 days later, I decided I need to take that medicine again. I found out it was doing some good. Because without it, there's problems, there's pain, you don't want it. And with it, you feel a little bit better with that. And so the Scripture says that medicine, that smiling or a cheerful countenance or a cheerful heart is like a medicine, and a medicine soothes us and helps us with all the ailments. Merry heart will soothe us, and our attitude and anxiety will be reduced, and it'll help everybody around us. A medicine will reduce pain. A medicine will make you feel better and make you get better and do better and just all around make a better person when we need that. And sometimes God tells us that we need to have His medicine, which is a merry heart, and it'll just help us and help those around us and smile in spite of it. Sometimes we don't feel like smiling. Sometimes we don't want to smile. Sometimes we think in our hearts, I'm not going to have a good day. I don't want to have a good day. Just don't bother me. It's just not going to happen. Well, the Lord says, put on a smile. Have a merry heart. And sadness can become a sickness that catches on very quickly. I remember years ago when I worked in a plant, I always felt like whatever folks hired me to do, then I'll just do that. And if they changed me to do something else, I made the same amount of money just to do that. You got around people say, well, I just don't think they're doing us right. And you hear that long enough, you hear it loud enough, for long you say, you know what, I don't think they're doing us right either. It just sort of catch it. Well, that's the way sadness is. That's the way an unhappy heart is. That's the way attitude that's wrong is, it just becomes almost catching. It's almost like a fever that goes through, and everybody before long is out of sorts, out of shape. You go in work one day feeling real well. Time you go home, you're ready to quit because nobody's treating you right. Well, it doesn't matter what you do, you still make the same money. And a fellow hired you to do certain things, so just do it. But how are we going to have a merry heart? How do we handle that? How do we have a happy heart? Well, I think the first thing, and I think you would believe this and probably could guess what it would be, the first thing of a merry heart, it comes from conversion. It comes from being saved. It comes from being born again. And to know Christ is to have happiness in our life. Even though the world around us may be crumbling and the foundations may be crumbling under us and problems everywhere, thank God, because I'm saved, I can still have the joy of the Lord. I can still have the happiness of Christ, and I have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. We find that we are saved. Thank the Lord. That's a good biblical term. I like the word saved. Born again, saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, what faith are you? You ever had anybody ask you that? What faith are you? I know what they're asking. Where you go to church, what are you? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. What faith are you? And I always answer, I'm of saving faith. I've been born again. Saved by the grace of God, loving because of what Christ has done for us. Psalm number 9, verse 14 says, I will rejoice in thy salvation. To rejoice in Him. If we're going to ever be happy, you've got to be saved. If you're ever going to have happiness of life, it's got to come from a conversion. A conversion is a change that takes place. I see a lot of people today that say they're Christians, but I don't see a change that's taking place. And I believe when a person gets saved, something happens, something moves, something goes on. And there's a conversion of life, and conversion of thought pattern, conversion of desire. And so a conversion comes that makes us happy. We're saved, the Bible tells us we're sanctified. We've been set apart. We're ready to serve the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Thank God we're upright because of Him. The blessings that come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're saved. We're sanctified. Thank God we're saved. Luke 10:20 says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice." Happiness. Mary. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thank God our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. That ought to make any dead Baptist happy. That ought to make a sad person rejoice if they know the Lord. Their names are written not on a church roll. They're not written on a book here up on earth. Our names are written in heaven. And thank God they're there. And He gives us life and joy not only in eternity to come, but thank God we have joy right now in the present tense of where we live. We live in a nasty now, but we can still have joy. We can still have peace. We can still have happiness. Our heart can be merry because of conversion. We've been saved. You know what a converter is? If you have a converter in electricity, it changes it from one source to another, from one way to another. And so we find to be transformed, to be moved, to be changed. And all that comes about when we trust the Lord. Not a greater event in anyone's life than salvation. That's the greatest thing that has ever taken place in anyone's life. Now, there may be some great things, and you may have some good memories of wonderful things in your life. But if you're saved, the greatest thing is the day you got saved. The day you came to know your need of a Savior. You came to realize you're lost and undone. Realize you're a sinner. And then, thank God, you realize there's a God out there that loved you, sent His Son. His Son died for you, and now you have life. Brother, that brings about joy. That brings about a conversion, happiness of our soul. So if we're saved tonight, we ought to have a happy heart. If we're saved tonight, we ought to have a merry heart. It helps our countenance. It helps our facial features. It helps the way we look. It helps the way we act. It helps the things we do. It just helps to have a merry heart to let it show. And it comes, first of all, by conversion. The second way to have a merry heart, it comes through contentment. Now, you'll never be contented unless you're converted. There's never any contentment in this world. The Bible says the wicked are like the waves out there of the sea that's just always in an uproar. Always moving, always churning, always back and forth. You stand on the beaches of different areas of our country. If you go to the Pacific Ocean, you'll find that the waves are always coming in. If you go to the East Coast and the Atlantic, you'll find that the waves are always coming in. If you go to the Gulf, you'll find the waves are always moving in. A few years ago, the church sent us to Hawaii. We went to the north side of the island, and buddy, the waves were coming in. And that's where they all go to do all the boarding and surfing, all that stuff. Boy, the waves, some of them as big as this room here. And there's always churning back and forth, back and forth. And God says that's how the wicked are. They're never contented. They're never still. They're never at peace. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. We can have gain from the Lord because of the life that we have. We need to be content with our Lord. Has He ever failed us? Never. Will He fail us? Never. We ought to be content with what He's done for us and content with what He has given to us. Content with our Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks unto the remembrance of His holiness. Oh, the Lord's been good to all of us. He has blessed us. Content with our Lord. I'm glad I can be content with His book. Well, that's an issue today that we have everywhere. But I'm glad I have a book. I can be contented with. I know it and know what it says. And a lot of it I don't understand and a lot of it I don't do, but I'm contented with the book. I don't have to change it to settle the tides and help in the area where we live. I rejoice. David said, "At thy word, as one that findeth a great spoil." David said, "Your word is like someone that's gone out and found a great treasure, a spoil. Something that's worth something." And our book, our Bible, is worth a whole lot. And if we don't fight for it, if we don't, as we said last Sunday night, if we don't contend for the faith, if we don't do that, somewhere down the line it's going to be taken from us, and all we'll have is what we have learned in our minds. Thy word have I committed to my heart. We need to have that. We need to be content with our things. And here we all falter and fail. Contentment, what a great thing that is to have a merry heart, to be contented with what God has given to us. Contented with our possessions. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. Ought not to be wanting everything that everybody else has. And that's where America lives, by the way. So-and-so down the road, they got this, and I just think I want it too. Doesn't matter what it costs me, doesn't matter what it does, I'm going to get what I want. Well, the Scripture says here that our lifestyle, that word conversation means the way of life. I'm not talking about talking. Our lifestyle, our way of life, is to be without covetousness. Thou shalt not covet, the Scripture says. Don't desire something that somebody else has just to fulfill the want of your life. But it says to be content with such things as you have. Whatever God has given you, you just realize that that's what God can trust you with. He can trust you with those things and He can bless your heart. And He says, for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great verse that is. He has given us contentment because of our life. We are not to have covetousness of all things because He said, I'm with you. You may not have what so-and-so down the road has. You may not have all those goods and those things. You may not have that bank account, but He says, I'm with you. And that's enough. If He's with us, it doesn't matter what we have or don't have. If He's there, and He says, not only am I with you, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. I'm never going to go the other direction. God says, I'm always with you. That ought to give us contentment. Thank God for what He has done for us. So a merry heart comes from conversion. Saved, born again, going to heaven because of the grace of God. A merry heart comes through contentment because we are saved and those things that He's done for us. And then a merry heart, thirdly, comes from a commitment. Boy, now this can get real, real touchy. You know why our pews are not filled tonight like they should be? It's because people are not committed unto the Lord. Everything else can go and get in between. But a merry heart comes through commitment. Trusting the Lord in every part of your life. Whatever my lot has taught me to say, the old song said, it is well with my soul. Whatever comes my way, thank God I know it's well with my soul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able. Oh, thank God He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'm glad God's able. Now, sometimes I'm not able. Sometimes you're not able. Sometimes there's nobody else able to help you, but thank God He's able. And so we find that as being committed unto Him, I have committed unto Him those things. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that He's able that which I've committed to Him. There's certain things we ought to commit our way to the Lord. And when we do that, it's going to make a merry heart. We're going to be satisfied with our life with the Lord. Our spiritual life. Committing the way to the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 37:5, commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's a positive verse. Commit your way to the Lord and He'll help you. Commit your way to the Lord, He'll bring it to pass. Well, He's our defense. He fights our battles. And there's a lot of battles going on today, a lot of spiritual battles taking place. And sometimes we get in battles maybe we shouldn't. Sometimes we let battles go by that we ought to get into. There are battles everywhere. But thank God He is my defense. Psalm 5, verse 11, David said, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Have a merry heart. If they put your trust in Thee, let them rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defended them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. That's a happy heart. That's a joyful heart to know that He is going before us. He goes before us. He stands beside us. He takes care of our back. He's our God. He's our defense. He's our strength. He's our help. He's our rejoicing. And there's verses for every one of those. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him. And I am helped. When we trust the Lord, we are helped. God bless us and will help us in all those things. So to have a merry heart, we need to have commitment. I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. I'm going to serve God. Doesn't matter what's going to take place. It just committed unto God. And folks today just don't like commitment. Oh, they'll commit themselves to the bank, and they'll commit themselves to the finance department. They'll commit themselves to the doctor. They'll commit themselves to the hospital. We're committed everywhere. We sign the card. We put our name on it and say, I'm taking care of it. I went to the doctor the other day, and they wanted to know who'd be responsible for the bill. I said, you're looking at it. That's all they're interested in, by the way. They said, put your name down there. I said, I don't want to. But we have to commit ourselves that I'm going to take care of it. Well, I'm glad the Lord has already taken care of it. And He has helped us, and we ought to commit ourselves to serve Him and to honor Him with our life. A merry heart, a happy heart, a joyful soul helps our countenance, helps our look, helps our way, helps our talk, helps everything about us. And I know there's enough to not be happy. I'm sure tonight, no more than we have in here, that if we was to go person by person by person by person, there's enough burdens, there's enough sorrows, there's enough problems, there's enough discouragement, distress, perplexity, there's enough in this building right now to burden all of us down, and we will not be happy. But I'm glad I can commit it to the Lord. I'm glad I can leave it with Him, for He has told me I'm always there. I'll never leave it. You know, when I leave the Lord, He's still there. Somebody says, you just got to go back where you left Him. No, He goes where you go. When I leave the Lord, He's there with me. I may not want Him to be sometimes, and I may not know He's there, but He's still there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What word, forsaken? That's a terrible, sad word. Jesus cried on the cross of Calvary, why hast thou forsaken me? That means you give up on somebody. You just say there's no use. Oh, but God's promised never to forsake us. That ought to make our heart happy. To be converted, to have contentment, to have commitment. And then lastly, our heart becomes merry through consecration. Matthew 10:39 tells us, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Consecration. That just means a dedication that is very close to commitment. It's a dedication that you're going to serve God, consecrated unto Him. If you lose your life, the Lord says you'll find it. That means if you just give up on your ways and give up on your thoughts and give up on your ideas, you'll find help and strength from the things of God. Consecration to serve the Lord. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. You know, it doesn't say just take up your cross and follow me. He says take up your cross daily. What I have battled today, guess what? I'll battle tomorrow. The discouragements that may come to you tomorrow, they'll be there the next day. That's why He says, just take up your cross daily and follow Him and let Him help us. That's consecration to service. Consecration to the souls of men. There are men and women that are dying without God and without hope. I was thinking this morning, I woke up early, and I was thinking this morning of every generation, how we're losing ground and how that these little boys and girls are being raised and they never hear about God. What a terrible, terrible way. And I begin to think about, and I think about this often, the generation of our parents. That generation, for the most part, the 40s, 50s, those folks, they loved God, especially in our part of the country and in the South, in the Bible Belt, and a lot of areas. And they loved God and they served God. And the next generation come along and they just wasn't as committed and they wasn't as happy. They wasn't as productive. All their ability to produce things for their family increased the more. They were able to give their children, I've heard it time and time again, I want my children to have more than I had. Well, that can be all right, but it can be a damning thing also. I told someone yesterday, we was talking about what we did or didn't have as a child. I said, but I did have some good home life. And that's a whole lot more important than things. And so we find that every generation we lose a little bit. And so that next generation, they just, I don't know, something, they got busy. They got busy building their homes and building their lives and providing for everything. And the American dream became their God. I really believe that took place. Everybody's got to have it. Everybody's got to give it. Everybody, you got to have certain status quo. And they gave their life to that. And they gave up on the things of the Lord. And so their children, they didn't see the commitment that they saw. And so their children, they have the same attitude, and they go out and we've been told that you have to have this and you have to have that, and you got to have a college education if you want to get a job. And right now, that's not the case. You know how I heard the other day the percentage of college graduates that have been looking for jobs for 3 or 4 years still haven't found a job. You see, the job is not contentment. A job is not happiness. A job is survival. We have to have it. But that's not the basis of our happiness. And so that generation, they've worked hard and they're trying their best, and now they don't go to church, they don't do anything for God, and they're raising their children now and they won't even hear about God. If you think it's bad now, just wait a few years. My generation will be dying off. Our generation will be going, and then gone. So we, as a child of God, we certainly need a merry heart. We need to be consecrated to the Lord. We need to tell people that Jesus saves. Oh, they don't hear that anymore. They don't want to hear. People have never wanted to hear Jesus saves. They haven't never come and knocked on my door and said, "Can you?" Well, I've had one or two. Can you tell me? But for the most part, they don't come and say, "I need you to tell me what I need." We need to go and tell. The Lord tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For this is our hope, our joy." Or what is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing. "Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as He's coming?" He's coming one day soon. I believe quicker than we think. I believe it's just around the corner. Luke 15, "What man of you have 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go find it?" Go find that one that's lost. And when he's found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. His heart's happy. He's found that lost sheep. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance." Heaven's already rejoiced over those 99. How do you make heaven happy? Tell somebody about the Lord. The conversion of a soul makes heaven happy. The rejoicing of heaven. And so tonight, may we ever remember that we need a merry heart. We need a happy soul. We need a joyous countenance. Not only does it make us feel better, but it helps everybody around us. That we can serve the Lord together. We'll never be happy unless we're converted. We'll never be happy unless we're contented in the Lord. And we'll never be happy unless we're committed. And we'll never be happy unless we're consecrated. So may God help us tonight when He says to have a merry heart and a good countenance. Make sure we have all those things in order to serve Him. It's better than medicine. I don't know about you, but I hate taking medicine. I just despise it. And sometimes I forget it. Sometimes I forget it. Sometimes I forget it on purpose. And the other night I laid down and I happened to think, "Oh, you didn't take your medicine." You know what I did? I went to sleep. I just went to sleep. And medicine sometimes is, we don't enjoy it. But a merry heart is like a medicine that helps us. It doesn't taste bad. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't feel bad. It's good for us. So may we have a happy heart tonight. A merry heart does good for our countenance. Does good for our looks. Everybody wants to look good? Just be happy. Everybody wants everybody to think they're feeling good. Just be happy. And that automatically comes out. What's in the heart proceedeth out. Let's stand together tonight.